The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Lillard goes into the front court. He's going to fire up a three for the win, and he hit it! Game time has arrived! On time in overtime! 143-142!
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Tonight again had a tough shooting night. He is 5 of 16. Turner takes it the length of the floor the other way and slams it home.
No, I mean, look, I'm not scratching my head. I totally get where this came from. It's just this is a move that you make when you don't have any other moves to make.
What they did today is bad business. Putting $20 million of dead cap on your books for the next 5 years is bad business. It's way worse to lose Giannis.
Bingo.
That's horrible business.
If I'm an Indiana Pacer right now, I'm absolutely disgusted.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studios at The Avenue with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Lattis.
Running her mouth, she wants to ride it. She's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever. She's too excited. Her man looks like...
If you missed us chanting John Horst's name at the beginning of the show, don't worry, we're going to put it on social media for you so that you can chant right along with us. Matt weighing in on the Carbless Talk and Text line says, Dear Nation salutes the mastermind John Horst pulling off another titanic move with Miles Turner reloading this Bucks team as a contender out of the East. Yeah, I think that sums it up pretty well. Although, we may be excited here, but didn't it feel, maybe it's just me, like, nationally, there was some, I don't know, sour grapes or just general disappointment or disgust, maybe even on some level, by what the Bucks have done. Like, I don't know if there are just folks out there who don't like the Bucks being good, don't like the Bucks having success, don't like Giannis staying in Milwaukee. But man, the reaction yesterday to this decision to wave and stretch Dame's contract, to bring in Miles Turner, to make Giannis happy by showing their commitment to being a contender. Well, it was certainly out there. Let's take a listen, Will, behind the glass, to Tim Bontemps yesterday talking about what the Bucks did to make this move.
Slight to moderate upgrade on Brook Lopez, but he's not, you know, an all-star center. He's not one of the five best centers in the league, and he's essentially now going to be paid $50 million over the next 4 years, which is an awful lot of money to pay for Miles Turner. And, you know, look, the Bucks are clearly doing whatever they can to keep Giannis Antetokounmpo in Milwaukee, and I respect that. And on some levels, it's a very admirable approach. But this is I would say this was a pretty reckless decision to do this move in the manner that they did, which is really the only way they could do it. And again, if it keeps Giannis there, totally get it, totally understand it. Hard to argue with doing that, but this is one that is probably going to have some real sticker shock in the not so distant future. Once the the weight of that outlay for Miles Turner really starts to hit home as the years go by.
Why? He just said it was an upgrade from Lopez.
Well, it's a slight upgrade, but we know that, again, getting younger is an automatic upgrade.
But I don't want, and you know what? I really didn't want Dame 2 years from now, 36 years old. I get what you're saying. He's not going to be the same player. So if they just were status quo, I don't think their chances of winning a championship. But he had to do something, right?
Yes.
He had to do something, and he did.
He did what he had to do.
Well, and again, I understand most general managers think about things of how can I keep us competitive in the present while also thinking about the future. I don't think John Horst gives a rip about the future, at least the future that doesn't involve Giannis Antetokounmpo. So he's going to do everything in his power as long as Giannis is here, and whatever he has to mortgage in the future, who cares? Who cares if you're garbage for how many ever years after Giannis leaves? I am capitalizing on a generational talent. When it's all said and done, a top 15, and I feel that's conservative, top 15 player of all time, I want to just maximize that and keep him here and happy for as long as I can. Future assets be damned.
Well, let me ask you guys this, because I want to ask Eric, name, does he do this if Halliburton and Tatum don't get hurt?
So the Halliburton part is interesting because, again, as Jen had mentioned earlier, all the talk throughout the postseason run that the Pacers had was, oh, we got to keep this core together. We got to keep this team together. And I don't know if the Halliburton injury threw a wrench into that, and Miles Turner kind of looked around and went, do I want to sit here for a year while we kind of toil away and then hope we can recapture this magic that we had really starting since January 1st to that run to Game 7 of the NBA Finals? Or do I want to play with Giannis Antetokounmpo? And he decided that he wanted to play with Giannis. And it seemed like the Pacers kind of came in and offered a whole heck of a lot less money. Bucks were willing to give him a fourth year with an option. And it was about $20 million per year for 3 years, I think, was the max offer that he got from the Pacers.
But what about Tatum? Because, you know, they exited early, and I get why. I mean, we choked against Denver. It's just harder to win it that second year, but I would think they'd be coming back more hungry. And Brad Stevens is one of the best front office guys around.
He's got a great
mind,
yep.
I don't know if they would have done it.
And they probably wouldn't have been able to do it, if you want to do that, had Dame stayed healthy. They may have just had to try to trade Dame straight away.
So I could sit here and wax poetic about what I heard Tim Bontemp say, and I could sit here and try to make the argument against some of the things, because it did sound like, why can't you just say, hell of a move? Like, this was ballsy. And we don't know if it's going to work out, but I appreciate the guts it took to make a move like this, an unprecedented move. That's what they should be saying. That's what the remarks should be. Our friend Evan Cohen from Unsportsmanlike was also on these airwaves yesterday. I believe he joined Alex Strofe, and he had some interesting things to say. And I think this is the most logical, rational defense of what John Horst did yesterday. Take a listen to this.
What they did today is bad business. Putting $20 million of dead cap on your books for the next 5 years is bad business. It's way worse to lose Giannis.
Bingo.
That's horrible business. So if somebody in its simplest form presented you, every Bucks fan listening in Wisconsin right now, two choices. You could either put $20 million of dead cap on your books, meaning if the salary cap is $100 million every year, the Bucks only get $80 million to work with, okay? You could put $20 million on your books for the next 5 years and keep Giannis, or not do that and lose Giannis. What would you like to do? So you have to consider this. The Milwaukee Bucks saying, we are willing for the next 5 years. This is bad business, but they could have been way worse. For the Milwaukee Bucks for the next 5 years are saying, we're okay working with less because we have 34 and you don't.
Well, let me ask you this. Did he have the option to do 3 years? Did they have to do five?
If they wanted to make the financials for Turner work, yes. You had to stretch it out for as long as you possibly could.
This is going to sting. I mean, $20 million is a good player.
Yep.
But again, I think the end game is a championship.
Correct.
And if they win another title with Giannis, I think you take the sting all day long. You know? I think. You
I agree. Totally agree. Because I'm of the belief you win it. Give me a championship every 12 years and I'm happy. I'm happy.
No, you're not.
Yes, I am.
That's the big. So you say a lot of outrageous things. You've said a lot of outrageous things in the time that I've known you. This whole.
You said some outrageous things in the last hour and 12 minutes.
This whole give me a championship once every decade.
How long has it been? It's been 15 years.
For who?
The Packers. That who rules the world? Come on.
We're talking about the Bucks now.
Yeah.
They just won one not that long ago.
People would be. I'm not talking the diehards. The casual Bucks fans would take 12 years all day long.
Oh, yeah, because 50 years fans, between.
The Packers fans may get a little uptight, might be a 10-year deal. But Bucks 12, yes, people would be happy with Bucks 12.
Yeah, because, again, it took 50 years to win.
No, them. I know.
71 to 21. It's a
but
long
I'm
time.
With you. I'm with you. I'm like, if they win a championship, fine. Who cares? Yeah. Lose every game the following year. I could care less.
And I'm at the point where I just want Giannis, because Giannis on this team means they have a chance at a championship.
So Evan explained it perfectly. This yes. was roll the dice.
Yep. Oh, he's just
I didn't
gamble.
Get that feeling before. This was a roll the dice. And
because you can't compete for a championship this year without doing this move. Because we were talking about a gap year, because you're eating all the salary cap space and you can't really do anything. So, okay, what if we only eat 22 of this $50 million of cap space? Okay, it opens up. Now you can do some things.
But this goes to my thing. Would they have done it if especially Tatum didn't get hurt? Because then they don't get rid of Porzingis.
Because then it's not as open in the East.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe if the... I mean, again, I don't think Turner goes anywhere if Halliburton doesn't get hurt. But with that fact, I think with Boston kind of going, hey, we're not going to do anything without Tatum, let's just try to reset the board here a little bit, opening up the East a little bit.
Has Vegas set numbers since this has been done?
Oh, good like question. Odds? We'll check over at Pottawatomie Sportsbook, our friends over at Pottawatomie. It may have shifted. I don't know.
I mean, had to shift because...
I did hear the guys talking about some odds yesterday. We'll see if we can put that together. I do want to take a break because, Chewy, you bring up a good point often about how you trust the Brewers brass, Brewers with a doubleheader today as the game yesterday was postponed against the Mets. So you get Freddy Peralta for game one at 12:10, and then you get the Miz for game two at 6:10. It's going to be a glorious day for Brewers fans. But you talk often about how you have the most trust in the Brewers front office. I got to say, John Horst is making a run at that title, making a run at that crown. And where is Brian Gutekunst in all of this? I want to talk about that when we come back here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. But before we do that, guys, a lot of stuff we want to chat about today, including my friends over at St. Kate the Arts Hotel. Whether you're a local who wants to enjoy a night out or you're planning to visit Milwaukee, you can enjoy an artfully stylish experience at St. Kate the Arts Hotel. It's conveniently located in the heart of downtown Milwaukee's theater district. It's got deluxe accommodations, culinary creativity, on-site art galleries, artist-in-residence, and nightly live music, so you will enjoy every element of your stay at St. Kate. Learn more and book your stay at stkatearts.com. That's stkatearts.com.
Your state, your teams, your ESPN. The ESPN Wisconsin app. Find the ESPN Wisconsin app in the Apple or Android app stores today. More Jen, Gabe, and Chewy coming up on 94.5 ESPN.
The open road is calling your name, and the ride begins at Pottawatomie Casino Hotel, Milwaukee. This July, you could burn some major rubber on the custom Harley-Davidson of your dreams in the Fire Up Your Fantasy Motorcycle Giveaway. That's the Fire Up Your Fantasy Motorcycle Giveaway. Play with your rewards card all July for entries, Thursday drawings for extra cash, and reward play. Fire Up Your Fantasy is only at Pottawatomie. More information available online. Must be 21 years old and a rewards member to play. Big doubleheader for the Brewers today, taking on the Mets. You got Freddie on the hill, then you got the Miz on the hill. Just go ahead and park yourself on the couch or park yourself on the stream, wherever you're going to be today to catch those games. But Chewy, because of what the Brewers have done, and we've talked about the success they have had over the last month, you continue to remind us that the front office, Matt Arnold and company, deserve a lot of credit. Because every year they're playing against a stacked deck. And every year they find themselves in the postseason, in the conversation for the division title. And this year is no different. We're just about approaching the All-Star break, and here we are, the Brewers, still one of the top teams in the National League. So when we talk about what John Horst pulled off yesterday, does he inch closer to Matt Arnold, given some of, again, we thought yesterday there was no way they could pull off something like this, and he basically pulled a rabbit out of his hat. Is he inching closer?
I would put him at 2. I mean, he still has his warts, you know. Like, Dame didn't work out.
But he also has a championship.
He does have a championship, but Dame didn't work out. How do you look at the Middleton trade? Kuzma's.
Kuzma. Yeah, but financially it opened them up to be flexible to do some of the things that they did yesterday.
No, I would put him at 2, and like Jen said, baseball's just unfair. It's not fair. And just look at all the players the Brewers have had to ship out. Because baseball's unfair. Adames, Burns, you know. And we all go into every offseason, we're like, is Anastasio going to spend money? No. Oh, this. And everyone gets all up in arms. And what do? They win. They win. And they make great moves. They get young talent. Sprinkle it with some veterans. I mean, they haven't won a championship because baseball's unfair. But they're always right there. They're in the playoffs. Now, football, you got to put things in balance because you're talking 53 guys on a roster as opposed to the other sports that
have fewer.
Have fewer, but Goody hasn't won a championship. Should have at least been to a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Hasn't done that. He's got a good amount of warts, but in balance, it's, you know, like I said, there's a lot more players, but yeah. Evan really nailed it, though, because I didn't look at it from that angle. And I really don't understand the salary cap.
I mean, he must have really nailed it for you to want to give Evco some credit.
He did, because you look at it, and everyone else gets to spend 100, well, you only get to spend 80. That's an uphill battle.
But we got Giannis.
But you got Giannis.
And you don't. So we're cool with that.
Yeah. Does it have to work out? Do they have to win a championship after this move?
What does have to mean?
Have to.
I mean, look, the move you mortgage is the future. To win.
Repeating the words doesn't define it.
You mortgage the future.
But he's been mortgaging the future since 2018.
Drew Holiday and Dame Lillard. And again, look, give the guy credit for consistency.
I love it. I love balls.
Every time Giannis challenges him. Just right,
can we make sure we
well, you
just
don't need
will
to
for
that.
Future for future reference, just... Clip that, save it.
Let me just tell you this about Will. He's buying.
What do you mean he's buying?
He's full-time now. Got a big raise?
No, he's not full-time until Monday, right? Monday?
Monday, yep, the 7th.
Now, I can offer you protection for 3%. No one will bother you at the station. You don't have to worry about the higher-ups.
So you'll be my agent?
No, I'm your muscle.
All right.
Agent would require a lot more brain power than this guy's capable.
And a bigger percentage.
It's true. It's traditionally 10.
Yeah. Where were we?
You're ranking Goody solid 3 as far as the GMs in the state that you trust.
Yes.
Gabe?
Yeah, Goody's 3.
Yeah.
Goody's 3.
Horse pulls the triggers.
Yeah, Horst is the one is aggressive in a way that, again, it's just it's become scary. Too many GMs don't want to do what John Horst has done because it's too scary.
Well, it's job security.
Yeah, because your job now you're constantly putting your own
gambling
livelihood.
With your livelihood. Yeah,
yeah, you're constantly putting that at risk. And John Horst has basically said, "I don't care. I want to do whatever I can to try to deliver Giannis another championship."
What's best move for all three? Just go with best move. Because Horst didn't draft Giannis.
Nope.
Or Middleton.
No.
Horst's best move is keeping Giannis in Milwaukee.
Okay.
When the threat appears every year or so that he will go elsewhere, whether you buy into it or not, the threat exists. His best move has been making the moves to convince Giannis that he can win a title here.
Drew, Dame. And after the and again, I know you're like, oh, Dame failed. But what happened is you trade for Drew. Giannis signs the Supermax extension. You trade for Dame. Giannis signs an extension. Like he's been able to lock up Giannis. Now, Giannis is under contract for, you know, the next 2 years plus an option. So you don't need to sign, and he won't sign an extension because of this move that they made yesterday. But yes, it's keeping Giannis in Milwaukee.
And I would say, who's the GM at Brewers?
Matt Arnold.
It wasn't all him, though. It's just the Brewers in general in the front office.
Well, some of it was Stern.
Is who they didn't re-sign and who they trade. Like, Hader turned out to be smart.
Timing of that was a little rough.
Yes.
And I think they learned a lesson from that.
Yes.
I think they learned a lesson from, you know, hey,
about
we're a competitive
clubhouse
team.
Chemistry.
Correct. Hey, that actually matters in terms of... Or if you're going to do that, you have to deliver the message a little bit better.
And I got to be honest, right? Like, we want to sit here and go pass, fail, 0-1, everything is black or white, right? But, like, some of these guys are learning on the job as well. We don't want to admit that. We don't want to see it, right? It's like the underbelly of, but to your point, as long as you learn from the errors, that's why I always love, Chew, your stories about Ron Wolf.
Mm-hmm.
When he erred quickly, and he recovered from the errors.
Yeah.
It was like, that was a mistake. We're going to pivot out of it. That, to me, is the sign of somebody who is good at their job.
Yes.
You know, instead of the stubbornness of, I'm just going to keep on doing what I'm doing because I believe in the plan and I think it's going to work. And to me, when something isn't working, have the wherewithal, have the cojones to go
cut bait.
We got to pivot. We got to move. Yeah. We got to do something different. And again, I think it's a good ranking. I wonder how we can put this on the poll, because I'd be curious how our loyal listeners would rank the GMs from a trust level. Who do you trust the most?
I think I'm going to tell you this right now, because people love the Packers so much.
Yeah.
I think Gutekunst wins, and he wins by a lot.
That's foolish.
I understand
it's
that.
It's foolish.
I'm just telling you because the Packers are so popular, they're just going to vote for the
and Goody
for
hasn't
that
been
guy.
Terrible. It's just...
I mean, if his best move, is it drafting Jordan?
Not yet.
Is it the way he navigated the exit of Aaron? Because
best move, getting rid of him, because he turned out to be crap.
But it was... The way he pivoted, because they thought, well, maybe Aaron Rodgers is coming to an end. They draft Jordan, he wins back-to-back MVPs, and he was willing to pivot off of what I think was previous plan was signing Aaron to that big extension that he did, then realizing, hey, we got to pivot off of it, was willing to eat the money.
And then Josh Jacobs and McKinney.
You got it.
Yeah.
Nailed it.
I mean, those were great moves, right?
Yeah.
Great moves. It's just a problem in football, you got to have more of them.
Yes,
100%. Because one player doesn't impact the game.
It's a percentage thing, not a number thing. It can't be, you made one great move. Oh, great. What percentage is that?
Yeah.
2%? You know, you gotta nail it at more positions than just the one.
But I will say this, in fairness to Goody, he's got the hardest out of all three of them.
Not the Brewers?
Yes. Well, maybe because baseball's unfair. I don't know if I said that, but.
Yeah, and that's why baseball. I was calling you out on
this
it.
Baseball's unfair.
But that's what I'm saying. Like,
sounds
at least,
vaguely familiar.
At least in football, it feels like there's parity. It feels like every team has a shot. If you manage your salary cap and you draft well, you got a shot. In baseball, it's like you're already behind the eight ball. Maybe you can get around it, you know?
Yeah, no, I agree.
Hit the cue off the wall. Chew, don't you have something to tell us?
I do. Adam Sandler is coming to Milwaukee. You like that? And right now, it's your chance to win tickets. We're giving away two tickets to see Adam Sandler, You're My Best Friend, live at the Fiserv Forum on Sunday, October 5th. Let's go with color 6 right now. Wins two tickets to see Adam Sandler on Sunday, October 5th at Fiserv Forum.
More Jen, Gabe, and Chewy coming up on 94.5 ESPN.
You know what I say, happy wife, happy life. And that usually means a visit to my guy, Dean, the dancing machine at the Jewelry Center. Earrings, custom jewelry, and repair services. The Jewelry Center does it all, including top-of-the-line engagement rings. And when that day comes for my four boys to take that next step in their lives, you can bet they'll be heading over to Dino at the Jewelry Center for their engagement ring. The Jewelry Center offers great deals and selections on both lab-grown and naturally mined diamonds for their rings. Plus, you always hear about how Gabe went to the Jewelry Center and had a great experience with the Jewelry Center specialist to pick out that perfect ring. Stop into one of their three locations, Brookfield, Greenfield, or Burlington, today. Or check out the full inventory online at shoptjc.com.
Been a very busy stretch for our friend Eric Name, who joins us in studio now on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy to give us all the deets, all the background on what has been happening with your Milwaukee Bucks over the last few days. Let me quote an article on The Athletic, and if you're not reading The Athletic and Eric Name stuff, you should be. As star players' saga go, the league has rarely, if ever, seen something as drastic and daring as this. The Bucks, well aware they're on the knife's edge here when it comes to Antetokounmpo's long-term plans, decided to cut ties with Lillard, a 34-year-old 9-time All-Star, 7-time All-NBA team member whose Achilles tendon tear in late April derailed their plans. Eric, what was your reaction to not just the Miles Turner nab? Because we didn't think that was even a possibility. And of course it wasn't. And then how they made it happen with the wave and stretch with Dame Lillard.
Yeah, I mean, it feels like this is a very John Horst deal. Like when John Horst is put into these situations, this is how he tends to react. You know, you look back at 2020, Giannis getting ready to sign his Supermax extension. Is he going to do it? Is he not going to do it? What are they going to do? All right, John Horst is going to trade Eric Bledsoe, 5 first-round picks. We're going to go get Jrue Holiday. All right, you come back to 2023. Giannis tells the New York Times, hey, you know, I'm not sure if the team is still pushing towards a championship. What are we doing? Do they want to win as much as I do? And John Horst goes, all right, well, that guy that we had, Jrue Holiday, we're going to trade him in 3 first-round picks for Damian Lillard. And I think this is another situation where, obviously, Giannis hasn't demanded a trade, as we've talked about all kind of summer at The Athletic. He hasn't done that. What he's doing is, all right, Bucks, let's see what you can do. John, what can you do? What are you going to do to make this team better? And I think there were obviously some options here where, you know, you're looking at a guy like DeAndre Ayton. That was someone that the Bucks were kind of taking a look at. And then all of a sudden, I think you start to think, is it enough? Is it enough? And this is just John being audacious, aggressive, like in all of the ways that he always has been, to go out and wave and stretch the largest contract that we've ever seen waived and stretched, to put $22.5 million on your books for the next 5 years. It is a risk. It is a gamble. I don't think anyone could have comprehended a week ago. Like, I remember our Fred Katz wrote a story about whether or not the Suns would do this to Bradley Beal, and everyone reacted like, how could you possibly put all of this money on your books? And John Horst decided, like, hey, my back's against the wall. We don't have a lot of great ways to try to upgrade this roster. How can we go out and do this? And he swung for the fences.
Eric, does this deal go down if Halliburton and Tatum don't get hurt?
I can't imagine it does. And I think that's more Halliburton than anybody else. You know, in our reporting, we had kind of found that the Pacers didn't love the way that Miles Turner performed in the Eastern Conference Finals, in the finals, and were a little bit hesitant to give the money that the Bucks did, right? To go up to that $25 million and a little bit more for 4 years, $107 million that the Bucks gave him. They were a little bit worried about that. I think you're less worried about that if Tyrese Halliburton is suiting up next year, right? Like, if Halliburton's still going to be on the floor, if you still have Ty run the show, you're going to be like, all right, we can make it work. Miles will grow. Like, this will have been a good experience. He's getting better each playoffs. We're going to be fine here. But instead, they don't. Now they're contemplating, you know, kind of the gap year idea that we're seeing the Boston Celtics go through. The Pacers are like, well, if Halliburton's not here, why are we spending this money this season committing to this guy that we didn't love when, you know, in the biggest moments when Ty was here? Now Ty's not going to be here and we're still going to pay this guy. So no, I would say without the Halliburton injury, I just can't imagine a world where this happens.
I agree with you. I think they try to run it back. 100%. They were one game away, essentially, mm-hmm. from winning the NBA title. So you go, we've got the recipe.
Correct.
You hit a few more shots here and there, and we're hoisting the Larry O'Brien. Gabe.
So if the Pacers didn't trust him, why should the Bucks?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a great question. I think my argument would be, if you're talking about Tyrese Halliburton, I think of people in media, I have been among the great Pacers appreciators of the last 2 years. Like,
same.
I've been someone who keeps telling people, like, this team is not going to lose. Like, they're just going to keep doing their thing. And so I have to say, Tyrese Halliburton makes everyone around him better. Always. That's always going to be the case. But the way that he does it is that he's going to keep passing. He's going to keep passing. He's going to keep passing. He's not going to necessarily look at his shot. Giannis is different. Giannis is going to be a force of nature every moment of every game. So while I do agree that, you know, Tyrese Halliburton definitely made Miles Turner better, he did it in a different way, right? Like, it was going to be pick and roll. And if you could switch that pick and roll and you were fine, all right, like, we're going to be fine. We're going to get through it. We don't have to worry about Miles Turner. Miles Turner is not going to be open. Giannis is going to be on the block and you're going to have an option. Do you want to double him or do you want to leave Miles Turner out wide open at the 3-point line? And I'm going to guess you're going to double him. Mm-hmm. And so while some of the, I think the good looks that Miles Turner can get tended to dry up when Tyrese Halliburton saw more physical defense, that playoff defense that can be really tough, I don't think shots are going to dry up for Miles Turner in the same way. Like, we never saw shots really dry up for Brook Lopez at the 3-point line. And if they did, it was because teams were running at him at the 3-point line. And you know what a guy that's 8 years younger and more athletic can do when you run at him at the 3-point line? He can dribble to the basket and dunk on you in a matter of seconds. You go back to that Bucks series. Turner posters Giannis in that series. And how did he poster him? Pump fake, drive and right at Giannis. Like, that's while Brook Lopez is amazing, one of my favorite players I've ever covered.
I am going to miss his slow-mo drives.
There's nothing slow-mo about Miles Turner. Miles Turner is not going to be in that same kind of slow-mo category. So I think for the Bucks, one, you're looking at younger, right? Like, that's a huge deal. He's 8 years younger than Brook Lopez. I think you look at that first round series the last 2 years, there were times where Brook Lopez got played off the floor. And you know who he got played off the floor by? Miles Turner. Mm-hmm. So if you're trying to figure out, like, oh, why could it maybe not work for the Pacers, but it makes sense for the Bucks, I think you're just looking at an upgrade on Brook Lopez. And they affect the games in similar ways. There's, you know, maybe six big men in the league that can both block shots and shoot the three. Miles Turner shot 5 threes a game at 39% last year. That's more than Brook Lopez. It's a higher percentage than Brook Lopez. Like, I think the pairing with Giannis, one thing that we've seen is Giannis really needs the stretch big that can space the floor, that opens everything up for his drives, his post-ups, everything that he does. And Miles Turner is one of, again, maybe six players in the league that have the three-point volume, especially above the break, like not shooting in the corners, like up above the break, that can really open up the floor for Giannis.
Well, that was one of the things that bothered me a little bit about the Tim Bontemps sound that we had earlier, where he says, is he one of the top five centers in the league? And I said to Gabe, yeah, but were those guys available? Like, you're at the mercy of who's available in free agency. And Miles Turner, by all accounts, was the best of those who were available. Eric Name joining us here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. He is the Bucks beat reporter for The Athletic. You should read his stuff always. Eric, what is your understanding of the dynamic and communication between John Horst and Giannis?
Yeah, I think over and over again, we've seen over the years that John Horst doesn't really go to Giannis and say, this is what we're going to do, big fella. Here's our exact plan. Giannis tends to say, I trust you, do the thing, and then we'll talk about it. And I think this is another situation where, you know, I mentioned those big moves, right? The Drew move, the Dame Lillard move. I know people don't believe it, but these aren't moves that John Horst is approving through Giannis beforehand. Giannis likes to have the leverage. He likes to be able to say, like, hey, I trust you, do the thing. But if it's not good enough, you got to do some more. And that's how you keep seeing these things happen. So I think, you know, you guys would know better than I. I think you run TA's podcast. So they were about to get on the stage in Athens, Greece last night for a podcast about 30 minutes before all of this went down. So I don't think this was like a situation where, you know, Giannis is in the situation room on the phone talking to John. This is, all right, go do the thing and then we'll figure it out, which is why, like, when we write the story at The Athletic, I think you can frame this a little bit as a gamble, as a risk, because you're doing some, you know, Giannis wants you to push in. You know, Giannis wants you to be competitive, and you're trying to find ways to make sure that he's happy when he comes around and is like, all right, this is something that proves to me you actually care and you actually want to win. And I think this is another one of those situations.
So to that point, could it have been true that Giannis was stunned to hear that Dame Lillard, because we heard the Chris Haynes report, which was like, Giannis is not happy about it. To me, there could have been some truth to that. Maybe not happy, but I thought stunned. I could see Giannis texting Dame when the news came out that he had been waived and signed, and was like, damn, man, like, wow, didn't see that coming, like, can't believe it, or something along those lines. And then that could be interpreted as, not Giannis isn't happy about it. And then the other stuff that comes out of, like, actually, this is a win-win. Win for the Bucks and a win for Dame.
Yeah, I mean, I think one thing that we've seen over the years is Giannis is among the most loyal people anybody knows. So he's always going to feel a certain type of way when he's losing a teammate or, you know, something happens and then it's like, oh my gosh, this occurred. But I mean, all of our reporting, like, it isn't just that Dame was okay with this. Like, Dame's elated by it. Like, he couldn't, like, I'm not gonna say he couldn't be happier. Obviously, I think he wishes it would have worked out better in Milwaukee, right? Like, it would have been great if the pairing of these two top 75 players of all time would have led to a championship, but that isn't what happened. And now that it hasn't happened and he has a torn Achilles, Dame's, I think, excited about the possibility to rehab in Portland, be around his kids, like, get to have that kind of home environment while he rehabs this. And then, oh, by the way, he can get another paycheck. And for the first time in his career, he can pick who it is that he wants to sign with. And there's going to be a lot of people that are going to come through, and all of the contenders in the league are going to say, well, we don't have a ton of money to spend. Would it be worthwhile to sign Dame on a minimum or sign him for $5 million or whatever it might be, just so that he's on a roster so that when we're making a playoff push, we're not worried about who we can get on the buyout market. We're just thinking about, well, Dame's going to come back in April. He's going to get his rhythm. And then in the playoffs, we have one of the top 75 players of all time coming off the bench for us. And for Dame, that can be an opportunity where he can really make a lot of money and set himself up for the next contract after that. So, I think with Giannis, we've seen in the past that he doesn't always necessarily love how business gets done. I think he's someone that really values relationships, and that can hurt him when he sees one of his guys go somewhere. You know, we saw him on Twitter yesterday, an hour before all the moves started to happen, being like, Brooke Lopez's jersey should be retired.
1,000,000%.
Like, that's my guy. So he's going to feel a type of way because he's built these relationships. But I think eventually, and I think this is another thing with Giannis, is that everything with Giannis is calculated. Everything with Giannis is slow. Everything with Giannis is really like thinking through everything, which is why, like, okay, no matter how he might react in the moment, it's more about what he thinks after he's talked through it, after he's seen the whole roster, and after he's been able to have a chance to really understand what the team's going to look like the next season.
Are they done, or will they move Kuzma?
Yeah, I mean, I think...
These are the options, by the way. It's like, are they done, or is Kuzma out the door?
I think it is notable that the Bucks were able to avoid giving up any of their first round picks in all of the maneuvering they did yesterday, right? Like, they got to a spot where they didn't give up any first round picks. Sure, they gave up the 2 seconds to get off Pat's money, and that's fine. But they still have their 2031 first round pick. In the gap year idea for the Bucks, the whole idea would have been getting to next offseason with, you know, $58 million in expiring contracts for Dame and $22 million for Kuzma. You got $80 million with 3 first-round picks, because next year they'll be able to use 2 of their future ones and then also the one that they have in the 2026 draft. So you're looking at $80 million in 3 picks. I think what may have happened is John Horst saw, I don't know if there's $80 million of player that we actually want, right? Because if it's that high, you're talking about the Brad Beals of the world. Do you really want Brad Beal in Milwaukee? Mm. Probably not.
No, so never.
So you got to start thinking about the other things. Mm-hmm. And next summer, you'd have $22 million of Kuzma and those 3 first-round picks. And $22 million players tend to be players that there could be some overpaid ones in there. There also could be some underpaid ones in there. Mm-hmm. There could be a guy like Cam Johnson, who we saw move this summer. Guys like that might be a little bit better for the team and a little bit more obtainable. So I think they might see what this looks like for a year. Also give Kuzma a chance to build his trade value back up, because it didn't go well in Milwaukee. he did not look great. But I think there's some hope that with a full offseason, with everyone trying to figure out how to integrate this, that maybe, you know, Kuzma can have a better year and build that trade value back up.
We're going to take a quick break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Come back. Eric and Ames is going to hang with us for a few more minutes. We still want to talk about a few more things that the Bucks did yesterday. And again, what the odds are now. I'm looking at them up on the get-up screen right now on ESPN. We'll check over with our friends at Pottawatomie to see how the odds have shifted with the addition of Miles Turner to the Milwaukee Bucks.
Let me tell you about our friends at Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. For windows with the strongest resilience, you need the Pella experience. Well, just go to the Pella Experience Center. Lets you see, feel, open, close, and compare dozens of window and door options from 7 different Pella lines side by side. This thing is unbelievable with the number of options that they have. Customizable. They've got great options for every budget. So stop by soon, because if you order by July 31st, you get 0% interest for up to 5 years. Certain restrictions apply. Visit the Pella Experience Center in Brookfield or schedule your free in-home consultation today at PellaWI.com.
Jen, Gabe, and Chewy are back after this on 94.5 ESPN.
This is an ad by BetterHelp. Workplace stress is now one of the top causes of declining mental health, with 61% of the global workforce experiencing higher than normal levels of stress. A holiday or a vacation is great, but it's not a long-term solution. So this is the time to try out therapy. I've benefited from therapy. I've been doing it for, man, over 10 years, and it has really helped me navigate some of the sticky spots in life. With over 30,000 therapists, BetterHelp is the world's largest online therapy platform. They've served over 5 million people globally, and it works. The App Store has it rated a 4.9 out of 5 based on 7 million client reviews. So if you find yourself needing help, BetterHelp is the way to go. Our listeners get 10% off their first month at BetterHelp.com/timeout. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/timeout. Eric Name still in studio with us as we wrap up Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Gabe, you got a question for him?
Mid-level exception, how much do they have left?
They don't have any left.
They don't have anything left.
So as soon as you become a cap room team, you get like that, like that, the exceptions start to disappear. So minimums.
Okay, minimums from here on out is all they can do.
Yeah.
And Eric Name is very much looking forward to potentially having a 4th of July holiday for the first time in...
No, there's work to do. There's always work to do, Jen.
It's a grinder, Chew.
Ryan Rollins, back or not?
He's a grinder.
You're the kind of guy.
We'll see.
Does nothing for me. I could have told you that.
You're welcome.
Will the Intouch is next on ESPN Milwaukee. Have a great day, everybody. Horst, 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 horst.